صدیق کی بیٹی صدیقہ تعریف تیری. السلام علیکم ورحمۃ اللہ وبرکاتہ. اسٹیم لسنرز آف سیریس ایف ایم اینڈ مرکز صحابہ دا وائس آف اہل السنہ والجماعہ، وی ویلکم یو ٹو آور پروگرام الفقہ علی المذاہب الاربعہ جورسپروڈنس اکارڈنگ ٹو دا فور اسکولز آف تھوت. دا ڈیٹ ٹو ڈے از دا 18th آف صفر 1444، کورسپونڈنگ ٹو دا گریگورین کیلنڈر دا 15th آف سپٹمبر 2022. ٹو ڈے انشاء اللہ وی کنٹینیو آور ٹاپک with regards to marriage with a special focus and attention. Today will be on mahar, and inshallah today we continue this discussion on mahar. What is mahar? Can one person take back the mahar? Is the term dowry labola the right correct term to use? All of these aspects will be discussed with our honorable Mufti Saab inshallah. And inshallah our honorable Mufti Saab is here with us in the studio, alhamdulillah. So let's welcome Hazrat Mufti Saab. Mufti Saab, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum wa zaid khan, jazakallahu khairan.
Mufti Saab, what is the definition of mahar and where is it proven in Quran and Sunnah?
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, nahmaduhu wa nusalli ala rasulihil kareem, amma ba'd. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Our lesson today, because we continue with the related issues of marriage and nikah, so today our topic is mahar. So the first thing we should discuss is the meaning of it. Normally our ulama, many of them, or in our nikah registers and books, you will find the word is written as dowry. Remember that translation is not the good translation. Why is not the good translation? I'll explain to you that why we object on it, and from Quran and Sunnah that we should not use this type of terminology. When you go to the Bible and you can make note of it, and the chapter is the chapter of Exodus, you know, in the Bible, and remember that will be 22, that section 22, verses 16, 17 of Exodus, and you will find they say, when a male, I'm paraphrasing it, when a male, so what he does, so remember that he lies down with the virgin and he touches her and so forth, then he must pay her a dowry and so forth. So in Islam, that is zina. So you must remember that, that is fornication, adultery. You lie down with the virgin and then you have to pay her and so forth. So if you look at the dowry in that context, so it means like you are encouraging fornication, adultery and so forth. And you then you want to call it, it's like what the Shias are doing. Shias say that Kufar Shias Khomeini writes in Tawdihul Masail that you can make muta prostitution for 1 hour minimum, and what you do, that you set the payment, you fulfill your last desires, and then you pay a 50 rand, 50 rupees. I'm just using 50 as example. Whatever the both parties agreed on. So $50, 50 euros or whatever, and then she goes her way, your way. So therefore, that's not the right translation. So the nikah will be valid, but we should know what the true meaning is. Like today, our people say, yeah, this is the Muslim school and these are the Islamic subjects and that are the secular subjects. So sometimes you wonder that do the teachers or principal know what they are talking actually? Do you know what is secularism? Secularism means to teach and breed and advocate a godless society. So you're trying to tell your teacher, your students, that this is Islam and then these other subjects we're teaching, we're going to teach you nothing about God, and it will be anti-Islam, anti-religion and so forth. So therefore you get this hybrid system business and so forth. So we must be very careful careful regarding the words we use and so forth. So then if we don't use dowry, then what word must we use? So Almighty Allah already teaches us, remember, and what does He say? وَآتُوا النِّسَاءَ صَدُقَاتِهِنَّ نِحْلًا. And very easy reference, chapter 4, verse 4. So give your wives the marital gift. Give your wives the marital gift. So either you use the term mahar or either, not mehr. Our some people say mehr. That also is wrong. It's mahar with a fatha, zabar on the meme. So mahar or muhur is the plural and so forth. And marital gift will be the best translation, chapter 4, verse 4. So where is it in Quran Sharif and so forth? So if you just look at Surah 2, and if you look at verses 226 and 226 and thereafter 227 and so forth and so on, then 236, 237, so you will find that Almighty Allah speaks of mahar there, and as we go along then we will mention about it and so forth and so on. So for the time being, remember that the meaning of mahar will be, rather use the term marital gift. And today when people embrace Islam, then remember that sometimes they say, what is the labola? So labola also is not, today somebody wrote a fatwa on labola and so forth. So remember, there's no such thing as labola and so forth in Islam. It's a non-Muslim custom. You must give the father-in-law, you must give the mother-in-law, you must give this one. There's nothing like that in Islam. Islam mahar is the lady you're going to get married to. You ABC, you're going to get married next week to that lady. So she must determine what the mahar will be. She says Mahre Fatimi, for example, so 17, 18, 20,000, whatever, in cash or kind, Kruger coin or whatever you. So she's happy with that and you happy, so you pay her. It's for her exclusively. You don't have to give anything to your mother-in-law, father-in-law, brother-in-law, sister-in-law. That is our custom and our reward and our own thing, tradition. But it's not what Islam has made mandatory or compulsory. So we must know what it is. And if the husband say, I can't afford it, then fine. Then he can stagger the payment and pay it and so forth. Every month he pay 1,000 rand like that. Or she comes down and say, okay, you can't pay 20,000, 18,000, so forth. Then pay 5,000, 10,000, for example. So all that will be acceptable and permissible. Main thing is taradhi at tarafain. Both parties must reach a mutual and amicable agreement. And if you want to know more about the laws of mahar and the marital gift, then Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verses 236 and verse 237.
What happens in a situation where a couple was ignorant of mahar, then what do they do?
Everything you will find that, remember that Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala is teaching us, and Mustafa Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is teaching us, that when a person gets married, so you have to give something to your wife and so forth and so on. Simple reason people ask that why must you pay mahar? So once we were in a seminar and so forth, an old man or old baji, he woke up and he stood up and he asked, why must we, the man, pay mahar? So remember, I looked at him and said, I still remember he had a nice big white beard. So I said, Baji, Baji means old man for respect, that no play, no pay. You see, that no pay, no playing without paying. So if you don't pay, you can't play. And that is the masla, that the wife can say she is not going to fulfill the husband's conjugal relationship and rights until and unless he pays. She's got all the right to do that Islamically as well. So that's one. Second one is a sense of security for her. Look at what sacrifices she made. That, I take myself, I'm from Transvaal, from Gauteng, and she is from Durban. So now she left her parents, she left her place of her birth, she left her siblings, she left everything. And now she comes by you to spend the remainder of her life. Is that not a big sacrifice? Obviously it's a big sacrifice. Christ. Therefore, Quran Sharif teaches us, Surah 4, verse number 19, وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ, that you must treat your wives with love and respect and justice and so forth and so on. When I deliver lectures before nikah, I tell the husband, the person who's getting married, the groom, that don't think you must pay mahar now only. Every week, every month also you must give mahar. Meaning, you must give her a gift and so forth in cash to cash or kind without her asking or anticipating for it. So that is what Islam is really teaching us and so forth. So that will be the rationale and the philosophy and the purpose and objective for it and so forth. So in Islam, now the couple got married, maybe they knew Muslim and so forth, reverts, or they are born Muslim, but they're ignorant, like mostly the Ummah is. So they didn't know about Mahar and so forth. So what happens? So we have a terminology called Maharul Mithal. Maharul Mithal means at that place, at that time, what is the going rate, you understood? For Mahar, so that amount will be mandatory, compulsory upon the husband, he must pay his wife. Let me give you example, Maulana, because I know these things you're not aware of. So long before you were born, if you go to the 40s, 50s, 60s, you must go to some old masjid, and every masjid had their own daftar. They used to call it daftar. So daftar means the nikah book. You say daftar ka. Daftar in Urdu means office, but in this text context, it means the nikah book. So bring the daftar, bring the nikah book, then turn the pages there, so that you will find. So in the 50s, 60s, and then the Maulanas, they made a uniform amount, you see. And what they told, they say 25 ren 50 cent. That was the going rate. 25 ren, 25 ren. 50 cent, 50 cent. Because 25 ren that time was so much money, remember that. I told you, when I started in Darulum, Newcastle, 1981, January, so my wages was 300 ren. And in that we used to save also. Now if you go to 60s, 70s, how much it was? People could make hajj with 500 ren and 1,000 ren and so forth. So in those days, remember. So the point I'm making is, so the term is called Maharul Misal. So that was the going rate at that time. So now, that is why Quran uses the miracle word. The whole Quran is miracle. But certain words you must understand what makes Islam a loving religion for all times, all places. Bil Ma'ruf. See, I use the word now. Wa'ashiruhunna bil Ma'ruf. They treat your wives with Ma'ruf. So analyze, go to the philology, history of the word Ma'ruf. It comes from the word Uruf. So everywhere they got their own idea and so forth and so on. So the Pathans and all that in Pakistan got their own custom. We, the Indians, they got our own custom. The whites will have their own custom. So all that customs will be accommodated, provided that it does not trample on the Sharia. So that is the miracle of it. So when the husband and wife, they didn't pay mahar, they didn't know or whatever. So we will tell them, die in South Africa, UIA in Johannesburg. So what is the going rate now? We say 5,000 rand. So now he has to pay her 5,000 rand. You go to Cape Town. Cape Town is cheaper. So remember, it's 2,000 rand. So he has to pay her 2,000 rand. You go to now a place like, for example, Maldives. Maldives for the 1 liter of water, half liter of water is $10. So you will tell them the going rate is 20,000 rand, for example. So whichever place is, you take the norm and the custom and the tradition, what is the norm in that area at that time. So that will be the amount he, the husband, has to pay her. And the term we call is Mahrul Mithal. So that is the beauty of Islam. It brings about solutions for all times, all places, all circumstances.
Muftisab, in deciding the amount, is there a difference amongst amongst the four schools.
Yes, you must remember that. This also we should know. You know, our people sometimes, they only understand quarter or half the thing, you know. They don't understand the whole thing. And they make a big noise about it. So when we perform nikah, so you will ask them that, what is the mahar? They say, mahar-e Fatimi. But if you look at it, you must remember, it's not only mahar-e Fatimi. What Sayyidina Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu gave Sayyida, you understand, Fatima, Sayyidina Ali gave Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. You will see Nabi alayhi salatu salam gave his wife the same amount basically. So is mahar of Azwaji Mutahharat, what Nabi alayhi salatu salam gave, you must remember, the honorable wives of Nabi alayhi salatu salam, and what Sayyidina Ali gave Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. You see, it's like an easy example I give you. It's like today when you look at our khutbah kitabs. So after you take the Khulafa-e Arba, the four Khalifa's name, then you will find the Mawlana, the Khatib on a Friday especially. Then you will read Wa Fatima to Sayyidatu Nisa'i Ahlul Jannah. So that it plays directly into the hands of the Shias. So remember, the Shia say, you see, your Mawlana also, or your Imam also, he took only one daughter's name. It shows that only Fatima is the one. There's no other daughter, Allah forbid. So we say totally wrong. Surah 33, verse 59, Ya ayyuhan Nabi, kulli azwajika wa banatik. Tell your honorable wives and your beloved daughters, so four daughters. So the best is like when I deliver khutbah Friday, when, so we say, wa ala sayyidati tayyibati tahirat, Zainab wa Ruqayya wa Fatima wa Ummi Kulthum. So it's best we take all four daughters' names so that we promote the school of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And that. So same thing here also. If you look, we're just saying Mahre Fatimi. So creating the perception, impression that only Sayyidina Ali gave this mahar to Sayyida Fatima radiallahu anha. Whilst the reality is this, Nabi alayhi salam gave the same for his honorable wives and so forth. So these are academic discussions. We need to educate the ulama first. Then we need to educate our students and then the public and so forth. Because we just go with the flow, with the current. We don't make research properly and so forth. So that is one big problem today. So that is one issue. Then remember that now among the fuqaha, so what they say. So remember that if you take each one is different basically. Imam Abu Hanifa will say, La mahra aqal min ashrati darahim. That you can't give mahar, you understand, less than 10 dirhams. Nowadays, 10 dirhams, just to take round figures, we'll say is 400 rand, plus minus. Sometimes 350, 375, 400. So just work on 400 rand, right? It's your wife, so you give more, is no problem. So meaning that the husband has to give something that is halal. And to his wife, remember, and there is a minimum amount. Whether it's in cash or whether in kind, he wants to give her money, he wants to give her jewelry, he wants to give her clothing, whatever, and so forth, so on. Meaning, according to Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullah, you can't tell your wife, oh my darling, oh my puppy, that I will teach you Surah Yasin, Surah Tabarak, the Surah, the Surah. I will teach you the Masail and the laws of Huzu and Ghusl and about Salat. So you can't. Hanafis don't allow that. Right? That's one. Then you go to Imam Malik, rahimahullah. So he also is very similar. Easy way to understand it is, approximately, remember the Malikis are one third of what the Hanafis say. So if the Hanafis say 600 rand, so the minimum they will say is 200 rand. If the Hanafis say 300 rand minimum, so they will say 100 rand. So if we say 400 rand, so they are only 133 rand like that and so forth, 134 rand. So that is how you must know. And according to Malikis also, you can't say, no, I'll teach you one Quran, I'll teach you one Masla, I'll teach you none. Then you come to the Shafis, Hanbalis and them, so they say the mahar, there's no minimum first of all. So Hanafis, there is minimum. Hanafis, there is minimum. Malikis, there is minimum. But Shafis, Hanbalis, no minimum. So what they say? They say, Ma tarafat, Whatever the two parties get happy on is fine. So you tell her, oh my puppy, I'll teach you Surah Fatiha. She doesn't know, for example, she's a new Muslim. Oh, she born Muslim, but she doesn't know. I'll teach you Surah Yasin. I will teach you. So whether it is money, whether it is jewelry, or whether it is service, you understood? You tell her, oh darling, I'll clean the garden every day for you, every week for you, and so she's happy, so fine. Doesn't matter. So you must remember. She got the car. You say, okay, darling, every month, every week, I'll wash your car for you. She's happy about that. So that's mahar, it's fine. So whatever they agree on will be acceptable, but one big proviso, and that is, you must remember that it must be something halal. You can't say for something haram that the mahar is every week I'll bring one nice movie for you. So obviously you can't make that is haram now. So we must be clear on that. See, nowadays, because Maulana, you're still young and all that, maybe you will perform our Suleiman Esop's nikah one day. We don't know. You understand what happens in future. So now, Suleiman Mota now became very rich. You understand? Multi-millionaire, multi-billionaire. So I asked him, what mahar you want to give? He said, I want to give one, never one gold coin, I want to give one whole gold bar. You understood? So how much the value of one gold bar? 3 million. Rain, like that. And then, now if you're going to say 3 million rain in a masjid, first of all, the cooks will be there. You know it's South Africa and all that. Before he can get his wife, they'll hijack him, Allah forbid. So we also must be using our common sense. Although common sense nowadays is not so common, so you must say like this, like when I have to perform nikah, it happened. So we say the mahar is whatever the husband and wife, the zawjain, have mutually agreed upon. So that is the mahar. We don't have to spell out it is one gold bar and the value of it is 1 million ren and 2 million ren and 500,000 ren and like that. So that is how you must do so as well. So what the two parties agree on, finish. So that's sufficient. Even if you don't mention mahar at all, the nikah is still valid. There's no problem. It will not impact on the validity of the nikah if the mahar is not mentioned at all.
Mufti Sahab, if a person decides or says that he's giving a Kruger coin and then he stipulates and says 2,000 rand from there must be used for jewelry, does the wife need to abide?
Remember that you can't be making conditions that when you are giving zakat, when you give zakat, you gave 1,000 rand, 5,000 rand, that person is poor and needy, so you gave it to him. Now you tell him you must use it for food, you must use it for rental, all that conditions, they fall away. When you give a gift, so when you make conditions in that gift, that I give you this pen, this watch, this book, and I say you must do this, so you, the gifty, the mohub lahu, you will be the owner, and I, the wahib, the donor, the giver. So I made conditions, so the conditions all fall away. So when the husband gave the wife that Kruger coin, or jewelry, or whatever, now he says, you must do this, you must do that. So all that shurut and conditions, sakita, they all will get waved off, and they fall away. It will not be binding upon her that she has to do so and so forth. Therefore, the husband, before he gets married, all these basic rules pertaining to nikah, pertaining to talaq, pertaining to mahar, he should go to the ulama and learn that. You don't just learn how to perform wudu and you don't know what are the breakers of wudu. We're not saying you must become an alim and shaykhul Islam, but the basic things you should know. Then you can't plead ignorance. Remember that. Because ignorance is not an excuse.
Mufti Sahib, who decides the amount of mahar?
The wife, 100%, we mentioned that already, that she will decide what mahar she wants. Obviously, common sense must prevail. She can discuss and she should discuss that with her parents and so forth, with her family, and then they reach a certain agreement, and that's what the father of the lady will tell the father of the boy, or the mother of the lady will tell the mother of the boy, like that. Not the girl tell tell the boy. So the family, the elders will tell the elders this side, this is the mahar we want and so forth. And when they agree, then the boy must bring it, you understood? That when we're going to perform the nikah, like before I perform the nikah, so I ask him, by where the mahar? So then he show. So we check properly, but don't bring some plastic Kruger coins there, you know? It must have proper Kruger coin or whatever it is. But obviously now, if the gold bar and all that, then we can't tell him to bring to masjid. So we just tell the wakil. The wakil is a representative of the bride. So we will say, you must just collect it from them and so forth. And then that will be fine. And that will be okay like that. So it just depends. Now, one day I had to perform a nikah. And that person, I think the mahar was 150,000 or something like that. So that was many years ago, 10, 12 years ago. So I asked that person afterwards, you gave 150,000. No, we gave in jewelry. So I said, yeah, good thing you didn't bring it here to the masjid, and that will cause problem, you know, because it's South Africa and all this kind of thing. So as long as the girls' party, that the wakil is happy, so it's fine, there's no problem with that.
Alhamdulillah, we reached the halfway point. We'll go for the break and come back after the break, inshallah.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
Esteemed listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlu Sunnah wal Jama'ah, we welcome you back to our program. Mufti Sahib, can the husband take back the mahar?
Let me explain to you, before all that, here, let me make one announcement from today, inshallah, that I'll give you the whole program, but just one slight change. Remember, 3 to 3.30, 3.35 will be our repeat of the morning Q&A. That will continue Monday to Saturday. But thereafter, 3.35 or so to 4 o'clock, so inshallah, we will have our fiqh. So every day you will learn something. So today we're discussing wudu. Ablution. So that is much more interesting for the listeners, and it's in English and so forth. The Urdu, some people understand, some don't understand, and we have problems. So anyway, from today, and the program will be Monday to Saturday, inshallah. So between 3.30, 3.35 until 4 will be fiqh lesson every day, daily, inshallah. Let me explain to you the how the mahar works, and then you will go to that question you posed. Husband and wife got married. The husband, remember, consummated the marriage, everything. He had his fun and games with his wife. He deflowered her, everything. So there you have to pay mahar musamma. You must pay the full amount. So whether it's 100,000, 20,000, 5,000, 1,000, whatever, cash or kind, you have to pay. Finish. There's no two opinions on that. Second scenario is mentioned in the Noble Quran, Surah 2, and verse 237. وَإِنْ طَلَّقْتُمُوهُنَّ مِنْ قَبْلِ أَنْ تَمَسُّوهُنَّ وَقَدْ فَرَضْتُمْ لَهُنَّ فَرِيضًا. So if you, the husband, you gave your wife talaq before you even touched her and all that, and the mahar was fixed, we know what the mahar was, then the minimum amount you must give is half. Now let's bring this into a case study. The mahar was fixed at 10,000 rand, right? So now, husband and wife, nikah performed, does that. Now they went to their house, they went to their room, whatever. And before they could even start anything and so forth, so he never even touched her or whatever. So remember this, it can be, you see the word used here, min qabli an tamassuhunna. So before fulfilling and consummating the marriage, or before khalwa, before kissing her, touching her, caressing her, they had a big fight. You must remember, you know how sometimes couples go mad also. So why you wore this clothing? Why she, you is telling the wife, why you wore this clothing? In that the husband gave talaq. So now what happens to the mahar? So Quran says, فَنِصْفُ مَا فَرَضْتُمْ. So you must give half. So it's 10,000, so 5,000 you must give her. It's 1,000, so you must give her 500 rand. Like that. So that is the amount minimum you will have to give her and so forth. But see what Quran is saying. If you go in front, Quran says, وَأَنْ تَعْفُوا أَقْرَبُ لِلتَّقْوَى. So just forgive, and وَلَا تَنْسَوُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. So fatwa will be that you give half. But taqwa will be, fatwa you give half. 1,000 rand, you give 500 rand. But taqwa will be, just give the whole amount and finish it up. Understood? So that will be that. But minimum, you have to give half. Then, that is second scenario. Third scenario, also Quran, Surah 2 and verse number 236. La junaha alaykum, ay la ithma alaykum. There is no sin upon you. In talaqtumun nisa, you gave your wife talaq, ma lam tamassuhunna, and you didn't touch her, you didn't go into khalwa, kiss her, caress her, you didn't consummate the marriage with her. Autafridu lahunna farida. Autafridu lahunna farida means, ay ma lam tafridu lahunna farida. And nor did you fix a mahar. So the mahar was not fixed, right? And the husband gave a talaq. Now what happens in that case? So Quran says, وَمَتِّئُهُنَّ عَلَى الْمُوسِي قَدَرُهُ وَعَلَى الْمُقْتِرِ قَدَرُهُ مَتَاءً بِالْمَعْرُوفِ حَقًّا الْمُحْسِنِينَ. So you have to give a muta. Muta got nothing to do with the kuffar Shia muta. So you must give her clothing, you must give her money according to the rich person, his means, the poor person according to her means, because she was ready to marry you, and the nikah took place, and then your mahar was not fixed, and you led a fight and what have you, and you divorced her. So now it's wajib upon you, not mustahab. In this case, it's wajib, compulsory. The husband must give something to her. So mahar was fixed, you fulfilled your rights, everything with her. So full mahar. Mahar was fixed, and no khalwa, no privacy, no intimacy, no consummating. Half, that is minimum. Mahar was not fixed, and no khalwa, no privacy, no intimacy, no consummating. Then muta, clothing and food and whatever else, you understand, you want to give. So money or whatever, so you give like that. So that is compulsory. Now the other one is the one you asked. That you must remember, the mahar was not fixed, but the husband and wife fulfill the conjugal relationship, then you get maharul mithal. You got it now? So it's four different scenarios. So, and I explained to you what is maharul mithal and so forth. Now we come to that one, which is common nowadays, and is absolutely haram, and very sad and very bad for people to do so. Almighty Allah Jalla Wala addresses this issue in the Noble Quran, and Allah Ta'ala is using istifham for ta'ajjub, meaning that it's surprising that you human beings, you suppose to be the best of Allah's creation, but you behave like you know, in a terrible manner and so forth. So what is Almighty Allah teaching us? Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verses 20-21. Now, husband, wife married, 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, whatever, 1, 2, 3, 4 children, whatever it is. And then Allah says, Surah 4, verse 20, وَإِنْ أَرَدْتُمُ اسْتِبْدَالَ زَوْجٍ مَكَانَ زَوْجُ وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْدَاهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. So you gave your wife talaq, and you gave her qintara, millions and millions, أَيَلَ أَمْوَالُ كَثِيرًا. You gave her money, you gave her clothing, you gave her jewelry. Obviously, she was the owner. Now you gave her talaq. Now you say, give back my clothing, give back the money, give back the jewelry. All that Quran says, فَلَا تَأْخُذُوا مِنْهُ شَيْئًا. It's haram for you. You can't take back anything. See, Allah uses istifham and interrogative. أَتَأْخُذُونَ. What's wrong with you? You want to take it back? بُهْتَانَ وَإِثْمَ مُبِينَ. Are you casting allegations, aspersions and accusations that she did not go sleep with somebody else, and it's a major, major sin? And then next verse, وَكَيْفَ تَأْخُذُونَ. How can you take anything back? وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. And you met with one another, you fulfilled conjugal relationship with one another, you had intercourse with one another. وَأَخَذْنَ مِنْكُمْ مِيثَاقًا غَلِيظًا. You see this word? And she, the ladies, they took from you the solemn pledge. When we get married, it's not buying a car or a computer or a cell phone. You buy car, computer, cell phone, same day you can sell it, you can trade it in, whatever. So yeah, mithaqan ghalidha. Allah's name was taken, you had a khutbah, you had two witnesses, you had, you must remember, husband husband, wife, or the wife's representative. So many issues. The father, the girl's father had to give permission, and so forth, to maintain the sanctity of nikah. It's such a sacred institution. It will continue in this world, and in the year after also it will continue. Remember this, that Allah Ta'ala, Quran says, perform Mustafa Habibuna Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's nikah. In one case, with Sayyida Zainab binti Jahsh radiallahu anha, so she is the only lady in this world that Allah Ta'ala performed the nikah here on this earth. Zawajnakaha. We got you, Ya Rasulullah, O Habibana Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, married to her. So Allah wanted to elevate her and her rank and status. So this is enshrined in the noble Quran. Open chapter 33, Surah Ahzab, and verse number 37, and you will see it there. Quran says, Surah 44, verse 54, Surah Dukhan, وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. Yea, in this world, Mosaid, you perform nikah, I perform nikah. So we are ordinary mortals, ordinary sinners, and we are just nothing what we are. So remember, there Allah will perform the nikah. وَزَوَّجْنَاهُمْ بِحُورٍ عِينٍ. Therefore, when the husband passes away, or the husband gives talaq and issues divorce, then there's an iddat waiting period. Why? To maintain the sanctity of marriage. We give you another chance. Reconsider it. You can reconcile. You only gave one talaq. You only gave two divorces and so forth. So see all this wisdom and so forth. Maybe she's pregnant. So remember that there are different issues and reasons. So therefore, Islam implemented this. And main one, to maintain the sanctity. And marriage is a sacrosanct institution, and is not only for this world, it will continue in the year after also. So we need to understand. So Allah Ta'ala says, وَقَدْ أَفْضَى بَعْضُكُمْ إِلَى بَعْضٍ. You met one another, you had your games, fun and games all. Now you say you want to take back. Absolutely haram. Today you find the ex-husband says, give back. How many times I had told them? So it's haram what you are doing. Then the mother-in-law will poke her nose. Yeah, give. And then they will change the language. No, we didn't give it to her. We gave it to her on loan. That we told her she must just use it while she's in our house. All lies it is, remember that. So nobody does that. Out of 100 couples, maybe 1%, 5%. But that's not the normal. You gave her the jewelry, you gave her the money, you gave her the clothing, whatever it is. It's hers. Now go to Bukhari Sharif's hadith. Today, if a Maulana tells a person, you're like a donkey, or they get so upset, but Quran says that word. So remember that in Surah 62, verse 5, مَثَلُ الَّذِينَ حُمِّلُوا التَّوْرَاةَ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَحْمِلُوهَا كَمَثَلِ الْحِمَارِ. So they behave just like the donkeys. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about the rabbis and so forth. So Quran is not confined to them. Anybody who commits this type of crimes, they are like a donkey then. So see what Nabi alayhi salam said in this hadith. Is it applicable or not? Obviously it's applicable. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. Al-a'idu fi hibatihi kal-kalbi ya'udu fi kay'ihi. When you take back, I gave you this watch, to you, Maulana Zahid. Allah forbid we had an argument. Now in the argument I say, give me back my watch, give me back my money, give me back my book and all. So when you gave a gift, the person who received it took possession, it's his. Allah forbid, things turn sour. Now you say, give me back. The one who takes the hiba, the gift back, and the mahar and whatever. So you like the dog, Nabi alayhi salam is saying. You the person who took it back, you like the dog. Kalbi ya'udu fi qay'ihi. The dog went and it vomited, and then it went to lick its vomit. So imagine. But our people are doing these things. Yeah, we drink Q&A so long, over 20 years. Hada min fadli rabbi. So hada rahmatu mi rabbi. So we know, we encounter all this. Absolutely haram. illa fi suratin wahida. Yes, in one case only is permissible. Now you got married, you made a new furniture, you extended your house, you got single bed, you put one side, you got double bed, all that. So many expenses you incurred and so forth and so on. Now you say your sweetheart, your poppy, your darling, your honey is coming and thus and that. But this honey decided, you must remember, she don't want to read namaz and read salat and so forth. She don't want to wear modest clothes and all that. She want to run around with a miniskirt and this and what and what and all the funny things. So you to blame also, but anyway, so she said, no, me, I'm not going to do all these things. So you told her, you know what, first of all, you must try, obviously, to save the marriage. Amalakam jorna he torna nahi. So our function is to make the home and not to break the home. But she's not interested. Sometimes you get women like that, really difficult, you know. So in this case, Quran says, see, Surah 2, verse 229. So Allah says, فَإِنْ خِفْتُمْ أَلَّا يُقِيمَا حُدُودَ اللَّهِ. When you both, you fear, husband, wife, that you can't fulfill the limits of Allah, the Sharia, because she is being very difficult and, you know, she's just obstinate and stubborn and what have you. So فَلَا جُنَاهَ عَلَيْهِمَا فِي مَفْتَدَتْ بِي. Then there's no sin upon you when she, the wife, is in the wrong and it's blatant that she's in the wrong. Then she pays a fee maftadat bi. She pays a fidya. She pays a compensation. She gives certain things to you. So talaq is divorce verbally or in writing. The husband does not get anything in exchange. Khula. Now just compare the words. You must remember that. And what is the word? So the word is hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun, and marriage is libas. So libas is a garment, is a clothing. So Islam says how the clothing is near your body, how the clothing covers the faults and all that. So husband, wife, you must be near one another, try and cover one another's faults and so forth, enhance the beauty of one another and so forth, like that. So khula fakhla أنا عليك إنك بالواد المقدس توا يا موسى عليه الصلاة والسلام. Now you are in a holy valley place. Remove your sandals, shoes, whatever it is. So خلع, to remove it. So why we are removing it? Because the wife don't want to change. She don't want. She's just stubborn. She says she won't cook. She won't read salat. She won't do this. She won't do that. All that. So the husband is trying, but say okay. So best thing he says, I'll give you talaq, but you must return the mahar to me. So that Islam allows, you see. But the husband can't be a crackpot and a crazy guy, you know, that he tells his wife that, okay, I'll give you talaq, but you must bring for me one Mercedes, you must bring for me one BMW, you must bring one Bentley, you know, all that is haram. You can't do all that. So you can only demand that what you gave her. So you must remember this type of things here. So now, so therefore, when Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam asked her, the first khula in Islam, that okay, this is big problem, you and the husband, she said, Ya Rasulullah, he's very pious and I got nothing against him in that way, and his akhlaq also is good, but we just not compatible to one another. So then Nabi alayhi salam said, fine, okay, that every day you're going to fight and thus, and so better we separate you. Ataruddina alayhi hadiqatu, that garden he gave you, that orchard, that farm, whatever it is, small holding that he gave you as mahar, will you return it? She said yes. So then Nabi alayhi salam said, fine, then you give her talaq and she will return that. So from there we prove that much is permissible, and that is what Quran is saying. So in that one instance, that therefore Imam Shafi was a genius. He always used to say, if you open a risala, he's the first person to write book on usul ul fiqh and so forth. In there he said, ma min amin illa waqad khussa anul ba's. You will never have a universal law, you will never have a general law, but you will always have one, two exemptions, one, two exclusions. So that is how Islam works. That is the istisna, that is the exception. And so this is the exception. All other cases for the husband or the husband's family to demand, give us the money back, jewelry back, all haram, not permissible. Only in khula it will be permissible. That also because the wife is in the wrong. That is why the husband wants to make the home, but the wife is being difficult and so forth. So the mahar, then she just returns it and then she gets the talaq. So talaq will be that he writes it or he issues it verbally, but he doesn't get anything in exchange. Khula will be that he gives the talaq, he issues the talaq, but he receives some iwas and some compensation in the process.
Mufti Sahib, is there any harms in a woman demanding a high amount for mahar?
No problem at all. So you must remember this. One day Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, he said in a khutbah, La tughalu fil muhur, that don't make the mahar very, very high. Then the woman said, Ya Umar, that what answer you will give? Yeah, Allah says, Surah 4 verse 20, that wa'ataytum ihdahunna qintara, and you gave them qintara, lamwalul kathira. So remember, then said Umar said, this is Umar radiallahu anhu, asabatil mar'a wa akhta ar-rajul. What the woman said is correct, and what the man said is incorrect. However, that does not mean now we carry on like the Arabs and that. If you go to the Arab countries, it's like the African custom there also. So that is wrong. It's like bartering your daughter away. That's haram. That is not right. That. So they say, okay, I'll give you my daughter. How much you will pay? So that guy say 100,000. Then he goes to that guy. How much you will pay? Say 200,000. Then he goes to the other guy. How much you will pay? 1,000,000. So like that. So now he's putting his daughter on like auction. Understood? So he gives to the highest, but that's wrong. So you must remember. And you can't be asking such figures now. So in the Arab world, you ask these youngsters you married. He say, Kaif ya Sheikh? Kaif atas of words. So I say, why? So he say, I don't have tanur, I don't have a stove, I don't have salaja, I don't have fridge, I don't have this, I don't have this. So remember this. So I tell them, you must look for such a girl, and both of you, you grow. I mean, I was married, and I am married still with Allah's help. But when we went Karachi, we never had stove. Whole year we didn't have fridge. We never had a bed. We used to sleep on a mattress. We never had cupboards. We used to have two teaspoons and two cups and everything too. So that's how you start, remember. And Quran says, "E yakunu," in a very context of nikah, "E yakunu fuqara yughnimullah min fadli." So when you are poor and you are sincere, Allah will enrich you out of his fadl and grace and mercy. Say Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, look at his fatwa, "Il tamisul ghina fin nikah." Look for richness in nikah. So you must remember these things there. So that is not a valid excuse, these type of things there. So we will say the woman can ask, but it must be a reasonable amount. Now this guy wants to get married. That woman say, bring $1,000,000. Now from where is he going to get $1,000,000? By the time he get $1,000,000, he'll be dead already. So you must remember. So remember, so one is the law and one is the practicality of it. So today I sent it to you also. Saudi Arabia, 92% of the women are watching porn. That is their own statistics. You got it, didn't you? Yeah. So now why all these type of things? If you go and see, then half of them are not married. So when they're not married, so they go for other entertainment. Mm. But why they're not married? Because the mahar is so high. Mm. The governments have to intervene and help them and so forth and so on. 1 million Saudi riyals, 1 million dirhams, 1 million dinar. And this. So you find then the women start getting busy among themselves. Allah forbid is haram. Then they get busy with the porn and what and what. And so in Islam, everything is done in moderation. But you can't put a cap, as they say, you know. You must put a cap on the petrol price. You must put a cap on the oil price. Islam say you can't put a cap on the mahar. Because that can fluctuate from country to country, time to time and so forth. So that's why, وَآتَيْتُمْ إِحْنَهُنَّ قِنْطَارًا. But for practical purposes, remember, You can't be demanding such a sum. Like, see now my father-in-law, mother, they said, whatever you want to give, you just give. So I gave 40 rand, 41 rand. 40 rand, I didn't have anything, first of all. My father gave me 40 rand, that he just took out 1 rand and spent it, and I got it. He said, just make it 41. I said, all right, 41 rand. So, in those days, people were not worried about that. They were worried that this person got iman, he got taqwa, he got this piety. That was the criteria. Now today, when you get married, first thing, what is your wages? You understood? So now, bichara Maulvi Sahib's wages is 5,000 rand, 10,000 rand. So they say, bhai, you don't qualify. You understood? They will get the guy with 50,000, 100,000, but then he will have affair and all that. We don't say all, but in many cases, we know. So that's where all the problems come. When we base the criteria only on two things, that is mal, the wealth, and jamal, and beauty. And we forget everything else, which is the akhlaq, which is the character, which is the creed, which is the taqwa. Wala, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, first far bidhati deen. You must look at the deen. So that is the issues of talaq and so of mahar and that so forth. So alhamdulillah, we finish with that. So next up, inshallah, is the 12 o'clock news of Brother Suleiman Esop, and thereafter the current fitnas by Mufti Yaqub Veli of Port Shepstone. Then 1 o'clock the adhan, inshallah, 105 to 130, Surah Al-Haqqa, verses 38 to 52. Inshallah, we'll complete the Surah 130 to 2, Surah Ahzab from the archives, verses 14 to 21. 2 to 3, Brother Yusuf Ali with current affairs. 3 to 3:30, 3:35, the repeat of this morning's Q&A. There's a new program. It's an old program, but we're introducing it again now. So 3:35 or so to 4 o'clock, we'll discuss fiqh. Today is wudu. So all you who are new Muslims and reverts and sisters, is very good, a refresher course for you all. 4 to 5, remember that Mufti Ahmad Khan Puri, and that will be that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ke anguti mubarak and so forth. So the ring mubarak of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's 4 to 5 Urdu lecture. And thereafter, 5 to 7, Maulana Khalid Yaqub. 7 to 7:30 will be Surah Al-Haqqa, verses 38 to 52. And thereafter will be Maulana Yunus Patel, Rahimahullah's advices, 8 to 10. The discussion, Maulana Arafat and Maulana Salim Kareem. Barakallahu fiqh. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Jazakumullah khairan to Mufti Sahib and to all our listeners of Sirius FM and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah. We head on for the news now with Brother Suleiman. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jamaah.